just like to stand close to David and James as they play their beautiful instruments. What a wonderful way to bring the presence of God into our sanctuary. Thank you so much.
May the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable to God. O God, my strength and my Redeemer.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, we started out today listening to a variety of scriptures. And the one that I had to read, which was the gospel, was the story of the Samaritan and how he, with love and grace in his heart, took care of a man who had been beaten and robbed. He didn't need to do that. In fact, as a Samaritan, the Jewish people wouldn't have even accepted him, and he was really acting out of the love of his heart and acting in a way that probably God would have wanted him to do, as he took this man to an inn that was run by a Jewish man. And the thing that they were going to do that was awesome was take care of a third person. And the Samaritan was willing to help do that. Now that story we've heard so many times, and there's lots of ways to tell it. And we could talk about the priests and the Levite and why they didn't do that and a whole variety of things. But I have to tell you, that's not the scripture that I've been thinking about through this entire week. I've been thinking about Moses and the book of Deuteronomy. I'm thinking about Moses and his arduous task of taking care of the Israelite people. They had finally, after 40 years, crossed the desert. They had finally come to a place where they were supposed to get to go to the promised land. And they were afraid. And they didn't know what they should do or how they should do it. They weren't everyone confident in God and what God would do for them. They weren't confident about that. They, in fact, weren't sure that they even wanted Moses to be the leader. But Moses only listened to God. Moses only listened to God, and he wanted to share with the people, everything's going to be wonderful. God has promised you to have a wonderful life, to have new children and new animals and wonderful crops, and that your life would be just like it was for your ancestors in a land of beauty and wealth, and everything was going to be wonderful. But you know, people thought that just sounded a little far-fetched, that all of that wonderful things could happen, and they really didn't know what they should do, or what they should say, or what they should tell to other people. And Moses said to them, don't worry. You don't have to wait for the commandment to come from off the top of the mountain or from across the sea. You only have to listen to your own heart. And the words will be right there in your mouth, exactly what it is that you should say. I don't know about you, but there are so many times when looking for exactly the right word to say in exactly the right place doesn't always seem to just be stuck in my heart and popping out of my mouth. It's something sometimes that I need to struggle with, especially if there happens to be some tension in that situation, or there happens to be something that maybe I was wrong and I need to say, I'm sorry. How hard that can be sometimes. But right now, who I'm thinking about is my father, and how hard it is to visit with him when his entire wish is to let his life slip away and go to heaven and be with my mother. He's 99.9 years old.
Wow.
He actually sees no purpose for him being here, and he has lost his vision, and he can't feed himself, and he can't easily walk around the house. And this was a man who was used to being in charge. And he will tell you, now I have 13 women who take care of me all of the time. Really, a man who was used to being in charge. And so he sits in his chair with his arms crossed, and I know he's thinking, if I just wait quietly, God will come and get me, because you see, my father truly believes that he will go to heaven, and he will be with my mother and the rest of our family that has passed away. And he has no doubt that God will be right there for him. What he does know is the timing is not up to him. And so waiting is one thing. And he said to me, I cannot do anything. I cannot work anymore. I can't eat anymore. I can't get up and walk around anymore. What worth am I? And this is a man who prided himself on taking care of all of us all of the time. How hard it is for me to have a conversation with him. No, I want to say to him, I'm praying, Daddy, for you to have an easy journey to go to heaven. I'm praying for that. But on the other hand, my heart is saying, I will miss you so much, and that when you leave us, the entire family will be gone, that we will not be together anymore, that this will be the end of all of the things that I have thought about for a very long time. And yet, my dad says, we have to accept things with grace. That's what he's always telling us. You need to accept change with grace. And every once in a while now, I have to say to him, Daddy, you have to accept change with grace. And he says to me, who came up with that? Really? But in his heart, he knows that God will be there with him to carry him on to a new life. This weekend, my grandsons, two of them, went to see my father. They haven't seen my father in quite a while because they don't live in town. They are the sons of my son David, who was killed in a car accident, who absolutely adored my father. In fact, his goal in life was to grow up to be exactly like Daddy. But as Daddy said, he wasn't exactly like him. He had a whole different group of things that he wanted to do. But what he taught his children, and what we know as a family, is that to be like Daddy would be an awesome thing, because he was kind and gentle and a very good organizer and just a great person to be with. So Sean and Benjamin, they were going to see Grandpa. And Sean texts me and he says, Grandma, what should I say to Grandpa? I need to say goodbye because I know I might not ever get to see him again. How will I do that? I said, Sean, you will do a fine job of that. All you need to do is to tell Grandpa all the wonderful things that he has taught you and that he taught your father. And that you and Benjamin grew up knowing that he was the matriarch of our family and how proud we were of him. And don't take too long, because Sean is a very long talker. And my father just doesn't have the ability to sit and listen that long. And so Sean said, okay, Grandma, we can do that. So I wondered, how will this go? Will he have just a sense that he could talk to Grandpa just like he always has? Or will he see this tiny man who can't see him, sitting in a recliner, unable to really communicate very well anymore? Or will he see the Grandpa he has always known? Well, after they left, I got a text message from my father's caregiver, Betty. She said, you have awesome, awesome grandsons. They sat with your father and told him the stories of what he had done for them and how much they loved him. They talked about your mother and how much they loved her. And when Sean came out, he was crying. Such a tender, wonderful young man. And he said to me, I don't think I'll ever get to see him again. but I thank you for the wonderful care that you've given my grandpa. And they all cry. And me too. But I'm as thankful to know that Sean, over the years, knows the words of the Lord are right there in your heart. And that is such a difficult time for so many people. I'm asked to do many memorial services. And so often I'm told that I'm not supposed to talk about God, but what they learn is God comes out of my mouth no matter what I'm talking about. And I encourage them to tell the stories that they grew up with, whether they're good or bad, because we're all human beings, you know, and we don't get perfect just because we're dying. That isn't what happens. We still are ourselves. And so how are you going to tell that story at your loved one's memorial service? And we work on that together. And we listen to one another. And they are surprised in themselves when they get up and they say just exactly the right thing. I'm not surprised. I know that God is right there. God is right there in their hearts. The words will come out of their mouths just in the perfect way. You and I live our lives every day knowing that God is here. He's a part of us. He's a part of our church. He's a part of what we go out and share with the people in the world. But sometimes still, it's really hard to remember that God's words are right there, ready to be spoken. And he asks us, please, tell the story. Tell the story to everybody you meet. I love them. I'll care for them. And that you will be part of my messenger. Everyone can take part in this incredible story. I'm thankful for my father and all of the stories I've got to tell about him. I'm thankful for my children and my grandchildren and how they are picking up the strings and carrying right on, knowing that God is right there in their heart and that they can tell the story. I'm thankful for all of you. I know how often you have shared the story, and I encourage you to keep coming, keep sharing, keep telling. Take God with you. He's right there, willing to be a part of your conversation. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.